Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. And I want to read a very familiar piece of scripture.
Hey, Joe.
Yes. What? Oh, that thing. Is this all? No, it's not. Okay, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. As I said, a very familiar piece of scripture. At least it should be. And I want to begin reading in verse 18. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. I'm going to stop right there. These are the words of John written to believers. I've written this to you. Not because you don't know the truth, but because you do. I like that statement. But he was writing to believers about the Christ of God, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I try to be very careful about saying it sometimes. I like the phrase, the Christ of God. And that Jesus is the Christ. Or as a sermon Henry Mahan preached several years ago, the Christ of the Bible. Because that, the Christ of the Bible, is a lot different than what is mostly preached today. They're preaching another Jesus. They preach another gospel, which is not another. But I like those phrases. Mainly because of the way other people trying to actually set a difference between what people flippantly use the word Jesus, or they use the word Jesus Christ. And they're not talking about the Christ of God. They're not talking about the Christ of the Bible. They're not talking about Jesus the Christ. They're denying Jesus the Christ. And that makes them Antichrist by definition. I want to try and say what I mean when I use his name or his title. Call his name Jesus, Joshua, Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the angels told Joseph before Jesus came into this world. He is called the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the only begotten and well-beloved Son of God. And he did come, and he did save his people from their sins.
Yeah.
And if you want to deny that, that salvation has already taken place, you're denying him.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a lot of that that goes around. Anyhow, this section here where John was writing starts off about hearing that the Antichrist shall come. Antichrist will come. The Antichrist. Now, we've read the words of the Apostle John, because he does continue on with that in here. But also, Paul spoke about this when he spoke about who he called the man of sin. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there become a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Yeah.
There's an Antichrist coming.
Right.
There's an Antichrist coming. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's going to happen. I don't think it already has, although I know some people do, but it's okay. The only thing stopping it is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He that letteth now will let.
Right.
But the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. That is Paul writing of the Antichrist.
Yeah, it is.
That's coming. You've heard it. Antichrist shall come. But even now,
Yeah.
There are many Antichrist.
Right. Yeah.
I remember reading that a long time ago, and I thought, well, you know, that's true. It didn't dawn on me at the time when I first read it that John was writing this 1,920 years ago, or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Almost 2,000 years ago, there were many Antichrists. I don't think it's gotten any better.
No.
Matter of fact, I think it's gotten worse. Well, the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And I believe they qualify as Antichrist. 1,920 years ago, John, the Apostle John, was concerned about this. I think we should be too. I think we should know about it. I think that's why it was written down. Paul gave some warnings about that. Just be careful of your flock. He says there'll be some among you that are wolves in sheep's clothing. Come from among you. There are many antichrists. And the word means antichrist, against Christ. That's what it means. That's what it's translated as. But there are many who are against Christ of God, the Christ of the Bible. There are so many now that I don't know that you could count them, to be honest. If you ever listen to the radio, if you listen to the television, and I quit most of that a long time ago because it was so bad then. To where almost every program on every radio station on Sunday, you're overwhelmed by it. You'll find one or two that actually seem to say anything about the truth, and that's about it. There are many antichrists now. And the access to information due to the internet and to national television and to satellite radio and to satellite television I don't know that it's actually the number multiplied, but it sure seems that it has, even if it hasn't, because it's out there. I think there's probably so many out there that it's just about impossible for me to count them. Matter of fact, there's so many out there that the way they are going is called the broad way. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Yeah.
Many. The gate is wide, and the way is broad, and I'm telling you something, they're happy to have it that way. That way leads to destruction. But the people on it don't know that it leads to destruction. They think they're on the path to eternal life. The context of that verse is talking about religion. Because there is a straight gate, there is a narrow way, and few there be that find it. But wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Because they are against the Lord and they are against His Christ. Now the next part is really what I wanted to talk about. Is verse 19. As I said, a very familiar passage of Scripture, or at least it should be. Especially in this assembly. The first section of it says, they went out from us. Now, by the context, you will find out this is not just somebody moving away because they found a better job or they found a different job. Some people have to move away. Health reasons, family reasons, whatever. That's not going out from us. That's transferring. And if you come back, you're still part of us. That's not who John is referring to here. These are those who leave because they no longer want to be associated with us. They no longer want to be associated with the Christ that is preached here.
Right. That's right.
They no longer want to gather with the family of God. And that's a scary thought. Now some... And see, Walter, this is one of the things when I started to tell you, you was talking to David, you better hush, because I was going to talk about it. Some have left to go somewhere else. And they gather now in places, which some of us know, where the gospel is a little more watered down, or in some cases, a lot more watered down, almost to the point of being unrecognizable. Some gather where the gospel is completely perverted now. And some don't go anywhere at all. They sit at home and they watch TV. They left this place. They left the truth that was preached. And they left us to stay home. Because they didn't want to hear about the Christ of God anymore. It's not that we drove anybody away. And Walter said it this morning. Anybody's welcome to come here and listen.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem with that at all. Welcome to come. Welcome. We'll talk with you. We'll discuss with you. If we can do it in an adult manner, I'm not going to get in a shouting match with anybody or debate anybody. But the whole thing is, if you want to come and listen, to this book, to this Christ, to this truth, you're more than welcome. But people have left because of this truth, this Christ, and this Bible. This assembly knows it better than I think a lot, because we are a small number. Matter of fact, if you want to actually get down to the numbers and you start thinking about it, we probably got more people that have left this assembly than are in this assembly right now.
That's right. That's
the fact. That's strange. I mean, that is when you think about it. And you, to be honest now, I do wonder if some of it's personal. It's not. But I worry about that. I don't want to make anybody mad.
They claim.
Well, there are some people I want to make mad, but that's generally not people that are here. I'm serious about that. I don't want to make people mad. I want to speak the truth of God and lie not. That's all I want to do. But they went out from us. They may gather somewhere else. They may not. They may go out to the woods and enjoy the wonder of nature now. But the reason they left is because they didn't want to hear about the Christ of God. They didn't want to hear about the supreme, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-sovereign God of all glory. Now, nobody's told me this, but I've heard it from others that there were some things saying like that, you know, some Walter preaches some hard things.
None.
Yeah. It's not hard. If you believe the truth.
Right.
If you believe the truth, it's not hard. Now, my understanding is sometimes a little slow. My recognizing sometimes is a little slow, but I know something's there. Because when he stands up here, Earl stood up with him before, and they say something out of this book, and you can sit here and you can follow right along word for word of what this book is saying, and they're telling you the truth. If you're one of God's, your heart will let you know. Because there's something in your heart that other people don't have. It's not hard to believe God if the Holy Spirit is in your heart.
Amen.
And that's what John's talking about here. Now the key thing that one of the key things from this where they went out from us, and this is the scary part, they were part of us. As far as an assembly goes, they were with us. We thought they were with us. They even thought they were with us. At first. And that's scary. Because all we know is that they used to gather with us and now they're gone. The other thing is that we know is we knew them. This is not John talking about strangers. This goes back to one of those swords Walter's going to get to. I come to set at variance. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household. It has happened. The ones that John is speaking of here are ones that we thought were with us. They're not strangers, even though possibly we really didn't know them. They're not strangers, even though possibly they really didn't know us. And the bad thing is, or the sad thing, it's not bad, but the sad thing is this is not news to anyone who has been in the way of the Lord for any length of time.
Yeah.
People leave
the truth of God.
They won't have it. And John tells us why. They were not of us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. John had experienced this very thing with a fellow by the name of Judas. Judas was one of the 12. Judas and them had hung around for 3 years with the Lord of glory himself, Jesus Christ. And Walter said it before, Earl said it before, when they got to the Last Supper and they said, oh, you know, who's going to betray you? And he said, well, he that dipped the salt. They all said, is it me? Is it me? Nobody said, I bet it's Judas. John saw Judas betray the Lord himself. Now, that was what he was appointed to do. That was part of the divine purpose of God concerning the Christ and his sacrifice, that he would be betrayed by one of his own. Judas went out from them, but he was not of them.
Right.
John experienced this. No one knew about Judas except Jesus Christ. The next statement is, I'm going to hurry up here so I can sit down. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would, if you want to, and leave that out, no doubt, they would have continued.
Right, they would have continued.
They would have continued. Because that's what believers do. You want something to do, continue.
There you go.
That's it. If you need something to do to make yourself feel good, continue. Because that is a good thing. The chosen, regenerated saints of God continue. Now it is totally and completely by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God's people do continue. And that is a reason to rejoice. There is a valid scriptural reason to rejoice, because God has promised that his regenerated and converted sons and daughters will continue. Why? How? He keeps us. God keeps us. We are kept by the power of God through faith. He keeps us. Christ prayed for him to keep us, those that the Father had given him. And he does keep his children. Because he is not only the Father, he's the good Father. It is because we are kept by the power of God through faith. It is because God gives us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's his good pleasure that we continue. That his people continue. That's why we can talk about something called the perseverance of the saints. That's why there is a perseverance of the saints, is because God keeps us. That's the only way to persevere. And that's the only way anyone perseveres. The perseverance of the saints is because of the keeping of the Father, who the Son prayed for him to keep. True believers, true saints of God, continue. We don't walk perfectly. We don't walk, even straight. We fail. We stumble. We may fall. We will fall. But we are not ever utterly cast down.
Yeah.
Ever. We continue. And had these been of us, they would have continued.
Yeah.
If you're in Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not going to suddenly start hating the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right. Doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. You know why? God keeps us. He gave us life. He gave us faith. He gave us the gospel. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us into all truth. Forever. He has given us eternal life. And eternal life is to know the Father and the Son. We continue because the Holy Ghost sees to it. Performs it. He is in, the Holy Spirit is in every true regenerated child of God. Therefore, every regenerated child of God will continue. And if you don't continue, at the very least, you are unregenerate. And at the very worst, you're reprobate. And that's it. Now, why did they go out? That they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. This is not people leaving us, leaving an assembly, leaving the truth of Christ, leaving the gospel of God's only begotten Son, and then going bad. Okay? There's a lot of people, a lot of churches, they left the church and then they fell into sin. No, they left the church, if it was the church, they went out from us because they were already full of sin. They were already unregenerate. They were already lost. This just made it manifest. And this is just a Bible fact, okay? Anytime, usually this book is saying, says anything about anything being manifested, that's for us. God already knew about it. Christ already knew about it. We're not showing God anything. And these people here who went out from us because they were not of us, they weren't showing themselves to God. He already knew. This is manifested to us so that we know. It's for our benefit, for our learning. And it's to show us what Walter was talking about, that first sword. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it shows. I thought some people that have left here were a part of this assembly. Were my brother or sister. I thought that. I found out different. I found out different. And it hurts. And it's bad. And sometimes it wrecks homes and it wrecks families and friendships and whatever. But it was manifested because God wanted to show us something. Now, what you learn from these, that's between you and God. The things I've learned is, I don't know what's going on some days, Mason. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I suspect myself some days. Because I know me better than I know you. I do. And if I was you, I wouldn't trust me either. But I'm not going to tell you why. Don't let. But it's the truth. These are people we knew. They weren't strangers. We thought they were of us. But then they're gone. And they're gone, not because of you, not because of Walter, not because of me. They're gone because they no longer want to hear the truth of Christ. Because that's all we do here. They can't be mad because the choir stinks. Because we don't have one. You know? They can't be mad because the band doesn't play good music because we don't have one of those either. All we do is gather here and we hear the word preached. That's what we do. And I love it. Not so much the preaching part, but I love the listening part. I love the learning part. I love the talking with each other. And what you have seen that I haven't seen, and what I've seen that you haven't seen, and that part of the fellowship in Christ where we all have these experiences. And you have a different viewpoint of how when somebody left than I have. And somebody else has a different viewpoint, or I have a different viewpoint of somebody who left than you have. But we've all seen them leave. And we've all been affected because it was manifested to us. Nobody was showing God anything. God doesn't need to know. He already does. People, this shows me that people will not have this man to reign over them.
Yeah.
As Walter says, they will not bow to him. That's a good statement. They will not submit to his righteousness. They don't like it, and they don't like the Christ of the Bible. They may love baby Jesus, but they don't like the Christ of the Bible. They may like a poor little Jesus leaning over the banisters of heaven hoping somebody will let him have his way. That's not the Christ of the Bible. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father expecting his enemies to be put under his feet, and they're going to be put under his feet, and it's not going to be pleasant for those enemies. And if you got a problem with that, you can take it up with him. Because that's what's going to happen. That is what is happening. And people will not have that. I wouldn't have it for a couple of decades or so. 23 years. Then all of a sudden I like it. They won't bow to him. They won't submit to his righteousness. They do not like it. And they do not honor the Son. And if you don't honor the Son, you're not honoring the Father. You can't honor the Father without honoring the Son. What was made manifest was they were not all of us. John repeats himself there. Repetition. Sometimes it's worth saying twice. This is the fact from the Apostle John. They were not of us. Their leaving manifests and shows to us that they were not of us. God knew. Christ knew. The Holy Spirit knew. But we didn't know. God caused them to leave to show it to us so that we know it's possible and that without His grace we might leave. Without His life we would leave. Without His love we're doomed. The only difference between those who have left and myself is the grace of God.
Amen.
It's not because of me. No. And it's not because of you if you stayed. It's because of the grace of God which is in the face of Jesus Christ. It's His work. It's His will. It's His way. And it's His life that we have been given. And that's what makes us us. And that's what makes them them. And hopefully, if they are just unregenerate, God will give them life and they'll come in. That's all I'm looking for. That and to continue on. I like continuing. It's been working out pretty good here for the last 20 years or so. God has been good to me. Still hurts when people leave, but it manifests that they were not of us. Believers belong to God because God chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. There's no other reason. That's it. We do say and think and do things because of the work of God. That's another promise of God. And I like what he says in the next verse, and I looked at it, and it says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. Well, if you look that up in the Greek, it says a smearing, an unguent. Which an unguent to me has always been like a salve or a cream. You got something on you because there's something in you. You have the Spirit of God in you if God has given you life. And their leaving manifests that they don't have. And that is a depressing thought. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. Because those that don't have the truth, don't know the truth, won't listen to the truth. Those are the ones that went out from us. I'm writing this letter to you because you know the truth. That's the only person that any of these books were written to, is to people who know the truth. Now there's calamities and there's all kind of bad things talked about in this book, written about in this book. But what is in here is to manifest to us the work of God, the work of His Christ, and the work of His Spirit. This book is for us to manifest his truth to us.
Yeah.
The same truth that these other people walk away from. That Christ is God. Christ is Lord. Christ is Savior. And Christ is King. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, we are thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and took upon himself our sins and paid the price that we couldn't pay and gave us his life. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.